November 24th, 2016. The music and dance of Wind Walker and the Multicultural Women greeted the hundreds of people as they gathered on Coles Hill overlooking Plymouth Rock. This was a pleasant way to start the 47th annual National Day of Mourning. Wind Walker had this to say about her performance.
I keep all the traditions. It's all traditional music. Mm-hmm. So I do. I have my moccasins and two canoes. My traditional side, I do ceremony every day. And then I also go out and teach it. So when you hear it's all drumming and flute and all traditional, all my proceeds go to children all over the world. And we just came out with a new CD called Seeds of the Earth. That's all children ages 3 to 17 on it.
As in the past, this event is all native speakers sharing their beliefs of the history of Thanksgiving and current day issues. Munanim James is co-founder of United American Indians of New England.
Some would ask what we have gained by observing National Day of Mourning since 1970. The very fact that you are here is perhaps our greatest gain. There are two plaques erected by Plymouth, one on Coles Hill, that's the name of this hill, to honor Day of Mourning, and another at Post Office Square, to honor Metacom or King Philip. This was part of an agreement we signed with Plymouth in 1998. Those of us who were here in 1997 will never forget what happened to our peaceful march. After a powerful show of unity demanding all charges be dropped, Plymouth was forced to drop the charges and erect the plaques. Now there are at least two rocks in Plymouth that speak the truth. The placement of these plaques does not end the need for us to continue to come to Plymouth and speak the truth. We will do so as long as sport teams and schools continue to use racist team names and mascots. And as a little bit of an aside, I love the Chicago Cubs. I really do. We will continue to gather on this hill until the U.S. military and corporations stop polluting our mother, the Earth. We will continue to stand here and protest until racism is made illegal. When the homeless have homes, when the people from Mexico, Central and South America are no longer targeted, when no person goes hungry or is left to die because they have little or no access to quality health care, and when union busting is a thing of the past. Until then, the struggle will continue.
The standoff at Standing Rock was on everybody's mind. Matoan Monroe, the other co-founder of UANE, which is the sponsoring organization, was among the many to address this issue.
We hope that some people in Standing Rock will be able to hear the live stream of what we're talking about today, but we know that many of them will not be able to because the police there continue to block out communications. But even without that, we know that they will feel our presence here today and that they will hear us. Because today, we do not give thanks for the invasion of the pilgrims, but we do give thanks for the water. We give thanks for the water protectors and send our love to Standing Rock today. Since last April, water protectors at the Standing Rock Reservation in North Dakota and from all over Turtle Island have been pouring in to stop the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline that is scheduled to run through four states and under the Missouri River and threaten the drinking water of millions. There is unprecedented unity in the gathering of nations at Standing Rock. People from not only the Americas, but also Kanaka, Sami, Australian Indigenous, and many more. Standing Rock has been the biggest display of Indigenous resistance and unity any of us has ever seen. Yes, it is something new happening just this year. It's a new awakening or reawakening for millions. Yet it is also part of a continuum of Indigenous struggle that stretches back for centuries, stretches back to Taino resistance, to Metacom, trying to unite everyone to push the English back into the ocean, to the Wounded Knee occupation in 1973, and the Ganazadage and Gatnawage Oka summer of 1990. Let's do everything possible to preserve this unity that is now existing among Indigenous peoples. We are going to need it for the struggles ahead. And there is unprecedented support from non-Native people, some of whom are risking their lives by locking down on equipment or standing on the front lines. The peaceful No Dapple struggle has been met with intense repression. Law enforcement, including police from other states and the National Guard, block roads. They have pepper sprayed and tear gassed and shot peaceful water protectors with rubber bullets repeatedly. They have used sound cannons. They shine bright lights all night on the camps. They have used water cannons against our people in freezing cold temperatures. They have thrown concussion grenades directly on people's bodies, resulting in critical injuries. You will have heard that Sophia Wolanski's arm, she was a student from Williams College, was pretty much destroyed, and many, many more people were injured too on Sunday night in the recent assault. Hundreds of people have been arrested. Some of them have been held in dog cages, most of them strip searched. Elders have been arrested for preying on their ancestral lands. Yet very little of this has been covered by the corporate media.
Corporate media ignores. Independent media exposes. Talia, a young activist from Northeastern University, expressed her solidarity with the North Dakota struggle.
The Dakota Access Pipeline is bringing contemporary Native American issues to the forefront of our society. The detrimental factors of environmental racism and the negative repercussions of these social issues are modern-day forms of oppression. Marginalized communities are the most vulnerable and often the most targeted in our society. As an Indigenous Kichwa woman, I stand in solidarity with other Indigenous nations opposing the Dakota Access Pipeline. As a nation, we should be doing everything that we can to stop this pipeline from contaminating sacred Native American land. Native Americans have faced colonialism, genocide, and oppression in this country, and through the Dakota Access Pipeline, we are seeing modern-day forms of Indigenous neocolonization. We should be doing everything that we can to ensure that the citizens of our country have access to safe drinking water. Human rights are being compromised, and we will not back down. Our earth is sacred, our air is sacred, our water is sacred, and we must be held accountable. Nyukakani Talia Kichwaruna. Mi nombre es Talia y soy Kichwaruna. My name is Talia, and I'm an Indigenous Kichwa woman. Water is life. Thank you.
Bert Waters is going to give a Peltier statement shortly, and I have to tell you that he's 86 years old. He always wants me to tell everybody how old he is. Somebody said, was he 86 last year too?
A moment of levity during a serious and solemn event. But before Matone can introduce Bert, Talia returned to make a plea on Leonard's behalf.
Leonard Peltier is a Native political prisoner and American Indian movement warrior who has been falsely imprisoned since 1976. He was framed up by the FBI for a crime that he did not commit. Many people here today were not even born yet when he was thrown in prison. Leonard Peltier is now 72 years old and in failing health. Right now may be our last chance before he dies to get presidential clemency. So everyone, please tell me that you will commit to support Leonard Peltier and demand that President Obama free him. We only have 56 days left. That's not very long. And we need an immense amount of public pressure to be applied. Leonard needs everyone to call and write President Obama today and every day. You can also join in the Week of Action in Washington, D.C. from December 4th through 10th. Please take the time to find out more about him and what you can do to help. We are honored to have a statement from Leonard Peltier today that will be read by Elder Bert Waters. Thank you.
Greetings, my relatives. Here we are again. This time, the year is 2016. It has been more than 41 years since I last walked free and was able to see the sun rise and set and felt the feel of free earth beneath my feet. I know there have been more changes than I can even imagine out there. But I do know that there is a struggle taking place as to whether this country will move on to a more sustainable way of life. This is something we wanted to have happen back in the 70s. I watched the events at Standing Rock with both pride and sorrow. Pride that our people and their allies are standing up and putting their lives on the line for the coming generations, not because they want to, but because they have to. Water is life. Water is life. And we cannot leave this issue for our children and grandchildren. And Mother Earth is always in struggle. And I feel sorrow for the water protectors at Standing Rock, because these last few days have been brought a much harsher response from the law enforcement agencies, and our people are suffering. At least they are finally getting attention of the national media. I have a different feeling this year. The last time I felt this way was 16 years ago, when I last had a real chance for freedom. It is an uneasy feeling, an unsettling one. It is a hard thing to allow hope to creep into my heart and my spirit here in these cold buildings of stone and steel. But today I will choose hope. I pray that you will all enjoy good health and good feelings. And I thank all of you from the bottom of my heart for all you have done and continue to do for me and for our Mother Earth. Please keep me in your prayers and thoughts as these last days of 2016 slip away. I send you my love and my respect for all of you who have gathered in the name of Mother Earth and our unborn generations. I stand with your spirit, Dashka, in the spirit of Crazy Horse, Leonard Peltier.
The annual reading of words from Leonard Peltier from his federal prison cell. Tokasin Ghost Horse is from the Lakota Nation.
The Lakota people, and probably you, probably know now that we as Lakota people have always been reacting normally to an abnormal situation. And now it's your turn. It's the consciousness of Mother Earth that's alive and well. That's who we are fighting for. I've talked to many Lakota people, and they said, they're not gonna die for a flag. They're not gonna die for freedom. They're not gonna die for Democrats or whatever, political, human rights. They're gonna die for Mother Earth. It's a big difference. So what we're gonna do is they're not gonna use the same language that puts you to sleep to wake you up with. This is about the consciousness, not your conscience, not the binary thought process you have, right and wrong. This is due to respect, a consciousness. We are Mother Earth in defense of herself. And we have to start thinking. I'm pointing to my heart, the Chante. Chante washte na page yuzapi yellow. It's our greeting. I give you my heart with good feelings. Shake my hand with it. And that's what we do every morning in Standing Rock, in Sacred Stone, the land of the Lakota and Dakota and Nakota. We have a water ceremony. We greet the sun every morning. So when you think about this, I'm going to say this to other folks, because we were talking about this. You guys have a new president. Okay, so here's how it is. When we were talking, we said, well, there is a new curse word. And we say, no trumping way.
Oddly enough, that was the only time that Donald Trump was referenced during the whole ceremony. Tokerson Ghost Horse closed by teaching the crowd a Lakota phrase.
If I can teach you only one way, one phrase, those of you who have been at Standing Rock, Mini, Mini, Wichoni. So when I say Mini Wichoni, you say water is life. Mini Wichoni. Mini Wichoni. Mini Wichoni. Mini Wichoni. Mini Wichoni. Mini Wichoni. Yeah. Thank you.
The crowd of several hundred people, the largest I've witnessed in all my years of attending this event, then moved out onto the streets of Plymouth.
We will stand with Standing Rock.
Brick by brick, block by block.
We will stand with Standing Rock.
Brick by brick, block by block.
We will stand with Standing Rock.
Like many of the attendees, Mbaka came down from Boston. I asked him how he felt after hearing all the speeches.
They made me feel very liberated in knowing that there's growing unity amongst the indigenous peoples, and there's great opportunities for us to be an allyship with the indigenous people who are stewards of this land and who are teaching us in the ways to decolonize our minds and our bodies.
The National Day of Mourning is sponsored by UAIN, the United American Indians of New England. For more information about them, visit their website, uaine.org, UAINE.org. The fact that they are in the streets in Plymouth every year shows that Native people are not banished or conquered. They and their supporters will continue the struggle for justice. For the Boston Institute for Nonprofit Journalism, I am Chuck Rosina, reporting from Plymouth, Massachusetts.